Now, holy shit.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, baby.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Forget politically correct. You are now listening to political bullshit. People discussing varying opinions about the same political bullshit.
Holy shit, look at this. We live, baby. We're here. Wow. We're making a
What's
transition.
Up,
What's going on? This is Pete. I'm Nick. And we are part of typically what's a podcast called Political Bullshit. And it's basically exactly what it sounds like. We're layman's politics, or we're a bunch of friends. There's typically three of us on here. It's Tom's birthday today. Shout out to Tom. Happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
He's usually jerk off. You know, he's usually in it. Yeah, he is a jerk. That's why he's not here.
We love him.
We do love him.
That's why he's in Thailand.
He is. It's true. He's probably, for his birthday, I can only imagine his girlfriend probably bought him a ladyboy.
He's top meat in Thailand.
That's true. He's probably the tallest person in Thailand, too. Tom's a very short guy in real life, and I think when the reason he probably moved to Thailand is, you know, so he can be taller. He's like Shaq over there, except white, and he has large ears. Oh, and
yes.
He also has three quarters of one finger. That's the truth as well.
And he reminds me of Ben Stiller.
He does. He looks like Ben Stiller, or like, did you ever watch Mr. Peepers from Saturday Night Live, the Chris Kattan character?
Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's Tom right there. I'm trying to give a visual to the audience, to the future fans of this almost politics show that he does. He does. He looks like Mr. Peepers. Like he might jump up on a table and spit an apple in your face.
I always thought Mr. Peepers looked like Ben Stiller, though. So I kind of.
Well, me too. That's what made me think about it when you mentioned Ben Stiller. He does, but he's like not Globo Gym Ben Stiller. He's like what's that one movie where he's like all serious and he's always chasing down his girl? It's like in the middle of I really can't remember.
Something about Mary.
I will just go with that, even though that's not what it is. But anyway.
Like, remember when he's young and he gets his thing caught in his zipper and something about Mary? That's Tom, but without that blue suit. Put a Metallica shirt on. And with the braces, too. Back in the day, he had braces, too.
Well, yeah, and he also probably, Tom probably still has it, but he has, like, that metal ball choker that all, like, the kids who were kind of gothy used to wear in high school.
Yeah, I wore one of those, and I feel like a douchebag to this day.
You've done well for yourself.
Those days are over. Huh?
Those days are long gone and dead, man.
Well, step one, stop wearing that necklace. That's how you succeed. Step two, a bunch of other things you have to change. And I learned that pretty quick.
But most importantly, you take off the choker.
Yeah.
But so typically on the podcast, there's the three of us. We have Tom, Pete, and myself. I'm Nick. Tom is kind of like he says he kind of has sometimes anarchist views, but in my opinion, he's more of a bleeding heart liberal. Myself, I'm very centrist. I have conservative ideals. I also have some liberal ideals, maybe even some socialist ideals sometimes. And Pete is also. I'll let you explain that, Pete.
I'm an independent, bro. I see where the problems are, and I'm not real idealistic. So I just want to give the problem what it needs to not be a problem. And sometimes that's liberal, sometimes it's conservative, sometimes it's all out crazy. But you know, we gotta do what we gotta do to make things better, man.
That's
especially
what it's
when
about,
it comes
dude.
To the money. When it comes to the money, people need more money. I'm all about that.
Well,
they work hard, man. They're always like, "Oh, generation, you know, you're lazy." And this, our generation works its ass off. The only difference between us and the other generations is we get paid a whole lot less compared to how much it costs to live. So,
I agree 100%, man. I say all the time that, you know, there's always people that are constantly complaining. Oh, the millennials are so fucking lazy. Oh, the millennials. How about this? How about you think about it and shut your face for a second? You think about this. You're probably a baby boomer, and you have coddled and created us yourself. How am I supposed to have – when you have baby boomers complaining about millennials, they really need to remember, hey, bitch, you created us.
They sound like their parents. That's what's even funnier. But I would say the major difference between their parents and them is their parents were like in World War II, did all kinds of crazy stuff, and they knew – you know, they used to tell the baby boomers, you guys are doing this all wrong. And they were like, no, F you, pops. And they had their leather jacket on with their curly hair looking like the Fonz. I'm going to do what I want with a pack of cigarettes and this, you know. And that's what they were.
Think about it too. Those baby boomers that complained about the millennials, you know, those baby boomers grew up during the 70s where it is notorious for complaining. You got your constant pickets about the war, right? Like, that's the baby boomer generation also were becoming adults through the Vietnam era.
They also had the greatest economy in American history. So in their little mind, if you go out and work hard and you get your hands dirty, you can be anything you want to be. In their mind, because back then, the economic system was designed to do that. But they fail to realize that they've voted for politicians after 1978 and so on that have taken away those protections that have led us into the recession we're in today and the lack of jobs. We have one of the lowest youth unemployment rates in history for the past, like, 70 years or so. 1 in 5 kids are in poverty in this country. 1 in 5. You know what I mean?
That's crazy, man. Which I guess 1 in 5 is that – I mean, are you saying that's a high number or a low number? It's a high number?
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of kids in poverty. It's 20% of children in this country are living in poverty.
Yeah, that's – if once you – I mean, once you say like 1 in 5 and you think about 1 in 5, like that's not – to me that doesn't sound like it's a whole lot. But then if you really do put it in perspective, that is 20%. That's a lot.
20%. For every 100 kids in the school, 20 of them, they're not just getting by. They're poverty. Remember what poverty is. Poverty means you don't have – you make like under 15 grand a year. Poverty is your mom provides for you and the only job she has is at McDonald's. That's poverty. And you got 2 siblings because your dad left or he died. Or anything. You get, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of things can happen. Or just 2 people got together, got married. They have a basic diploma. They can't get good jobs, and they're in poverty. Just like that. And they work hard and all that good stuff, and they're still in poverty.
I feel like the baby boomers, their generation has, like you said, they've completely fucked it up for the rest of us. And, like, I guess you could say, oh, that's so millennial to complain about that. Like, I feel like they think that millennials are just straight complainers for some reason. And a lot of us, I think a lot of us are misled, right? Like, if you're a millennial, if you became the age 18 in or after the year 2000. So that really does cover a broad spectrum of people.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. I feel like we're not doing too bad for ourselves. I mean, you really come to realize how much the baby boomer generation has done to ignore that really does make it tougher for us. And for some reason we get shit for having it harder. I don't know, man. Baby boomers they'll never be their parents. Their parents are the old ones. Hey, the thing about this on political bullshit here is that we actually get live calls. So, Pete, you want to You want to take our first live caller?
Yeah. How do I do that?
I got it. I got it.
All right. You do it.
Hey, what's going on? You're live. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Nas.
Nas, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm just checking in. You got to catch me up on where you are.
Oh, we were just complaining about, I guess complaining is the wrong word, but we were talking about how baby boomers really rag on the millennial generation, but it's the baby boomers who've actually created the millennial generation, and we're a product of them.
And the shitty economy that they left us.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Give me one minute. I'll be right back.
All right.
All right. Cool. So.
Well, that worked out great.
That was fantastic.
We're doing this on the fly, man. We're kind of learning as we're going. It's new to us. Like I said, we're typically a podcast, so
bro,
we never have to. Really
it's cool.
Deal with...
Man, I apologize, man. Sorry.
Oh, it's
about
all good,
that.
Man. It's all right.
As soon as I get into the conversation, somebody comes up, starts asking me questions. Like, come on, really? Are you serious, dude? But yeah, the point you're making right now is a huge one that most people are scared of. Baby boomers have the majority of the wealth in this nation right now, and they're actually not leaving anything behind for the generations behind them. It's a scorched earth policy. They benefited the most through government intervention over the last 100 years of any generation you want to name, and they spent the rest of their lives pulling up that ladder that they climbed to a so-called middle-class status and making sure that other people wouldn't be able to enjoy the same benefit while also not spending as much as any other generation by saving more and not actually flushing money into the economy. So what happens when you have a huge population that's overaged, doesn't spend, and has huge ramifications as far as pension payments, Social Security payments, and everything else? Well, that nation is going to starve unless it brings in new immigrants, new people to what? Tax them for 10 generations to pay for these old folks you got, along with losing industries that we lost, wages being stagnant. You know, it's a recipe for disaster, and America and Europe are going through the same dynamic simultaneously.
You are right on, man.
Exactly. You nailed that shit, bro. And you can't say it much better than that. They're pulling up the ladder. They're going away, and they're running away on their helicopter, but they're making sure that no one else can hop on a ladder to be saved with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the tough part about this is not a left or right. This is not a Dem or Repub thing. Both sides have actually, I would say, tolerated the behavior of these old children who've thrown a tantrum for the last 30 years and, you know, acquiesced to them. These people had fixed mortgage rates that saved them from inflation. So, you know, the money into their houses, they were able to kind of be really fully equipped. And then the generation right behind them, what did they get? The housing crisis because the market was a bubble after them. So, I mean, I ain't got really much good to say about the boomers, man.
No. But
you're right on.
Really agree with you. But if you think about it in this
you're
aspect
right on.
As well, you are. You're 100% right on. I think that the age of the baby boomers is coming to a close, though. I think that the election now – I don't think one way or another. I try to be fair when I bring up the president because I feel like the media really, really rubs him. And I think that Donald Trump is the last of the baby boomer presidents. I think that a lot of us, you know, the millennial generations and generations after the baby boomers are waking up and realizing what we have to do in order to start swinging that pendulum into our favor.
Yeah, yeah. That's a difficult part, too, because I think we'll see – like, we might see a really, really young president or we might see a really, really old one, but I think all bets are off at this point because once you get somebody like Trump actually getting into office, because the thought was, okay, Trump will – he'll make some hay, but he won't actually carry enough states or enough electoral votes to actually win. Things can't be that disrupted. Well, actually, they are because the Dems and Repubs don't have answers. Old establishment people and policies are, you know, they've been debunked and people don't want to hear the promises anymore. The Dems wrote out a new slogan today or something like better jobs, better pay, better skills or something like that. So it's like, okay, so the moment the jobs don't show up, you say, oh, well, you guys have to upgrade your skills. It's like, okay, so we're back in the 90s again. Same old excuses. You're not bringing back the jobs. Stop lying. And the Republicans are telling us if they just cut taxes, then that way that'll grow the economy. Well, how the hell do you grow an economy by cutting into the tax base? This is ridiculous, both sides.
Especially since they don't cut our tax. Republicans have never – you show me one time that the income tax rate has gone down for the regular person in the past 30 years.
Right, right.
It hasn't gone down. It's always been 21%. But it's been going down more and more for the wealthiest people.
Yeah, I'll put it to you in a different form. When you got that $300 from George W. Bush – the one percenters who were invested with them got, you know, $30 million. You know what I mean? Or whatever was aggregate to their particular, you know, finances. But just thinking about that vast difference kind of lets you know where the priorities were.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But
Republican
theory is they believe that if – well, today it's Democrat theory too, because there's no economic liberals truly that are running anything today. Everybody is conservative economically, and what they focus on are social issues and a lot of identity politics and manipulations and even real issues. But the economy, for the most part, is conservatively viewed by both parties. They don't want to tax the wealthy, and they don't want to protect the workers and their jobs.
So both sides pick their particular base that they're going to play with, and then they point the finger at the other side and say they're the problem, and both sides' solution is austerity. Oh, we have to cut this. We have to cut that. Well, what does that mean? Government service for regular, normal, working-class folks. Those are the people who suffer the brunt of austerity. The people at the top, they don't care. So they're fine. Yeah, cut more government services. Fine. If you do that and give me a tax cut, we're good. So you keep doing that, and what do you have? You have a nation of people looking for manufacturing jobs that are no longer here and being scolded on not learning how to code. Because I guess if all of us become coders, that's the solution. To hell with both parties, man. I'm sorry. I really don't like them.
Hey, man. Nas, I really want to thank you for your call and your insight. And call anytime you want, man. We'll be here every Thursday starting at 9 o'clock.
Indeed. Y'all have a good one.
Sounds good.
You too,
buddy. You too. Nick, I got a feeling that most calls aren't going to be as awesome as that one.
Not at all.
It was great.
I felt bad hanging up on Nas. Nas, again, I really do appreciate information. You're so insightful, and we would love to have you on and just talk the whole time. But we actually have another caller right now, and I'm gonna bring him in. You're live, man. Who am I speaking with?
You talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, we're talking. This is Julian.
Hey, Julian, what's going on?
Hey, Julian.
You're live.
Live.
What's your topic, man?
I was really just listening to your podcast because it's really interesting. I listened to your last podcast, right? And I like when you and Pete get together. I really do.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it.
I'm just curious. This is like a political bullshit type thing, right? I mean, I don't know about language. This is a political BS type thing.
You're good with the language, man. Don't worry about it.
All right. So this is like a political bullshit podcast, but the only reason I had just called is because I was listening and someone brought up the president and you said you don't pick sides, but you literally pick sides on every single aspect of life, but you won't lean a certain way towards the president.
The reason why I do that is because I feel like the media they're so slanted, and with my personality, I have to slant the other way. So I don't agree. I'll say this now just so I could answer your question or answer your, you know, add to your point.
Yeah, I don't
agree with the president 100% at all. And I often think the guy's shitty, but then I also think about it and try to think of his environment that he's in, like the climate, the political climate. And I don't know that it's fair. So then my inclination being a complete opposite person is to think of things I like about him. That's the reason why I do that.
That makes sense.
So Nick,
like really
so Nick
though, right?
The media has made Nick sympathize for him.
That's you're right. They have almost.
That's true. I just feel like I don't know. You're so opinionated when it came to the president, and you're not too opinionated. And you kind of just said like you try to find good things about the president. Like you shouldn't have to find good things about like someone that runs your country.
Well, you know, you always got to criticize
someone who's a symbol for America. You shouldn't have to find good things about that person, and you shouldn't be able to say like so easily, "My president's shitty." You said he's a shitty person just now.
Well, let me.
I'll tell you how I feel about President Trump because I have a little bit of a different view. Me, I see the president as the president. I criticize the president. I do it in a manner to where I criticize his policies and things I disagree with. But I'm more of a respectful approach because that's just how I am. I was in the Marine Corps. I'm not going to disrespect the United States president. I didn't do it to Barack Obama. I didn't do it to George Bush. I'm not going to do it to Donald Trump. But I do have criticisms that only because these policies could affect me, my life, and everybody else. So naturally, as an American, we live in a democratic republic under constitutional law, and the most patriotic thing you can do is to voice your opinion, as long as you're, in my opinion, you're not trying to purposely destroy your own nation. You know, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
But if you have legitimate concern and you voice your opinion, you're being a patriot, in my opinion.
That's right.
I mean, as long as you're right. I mean, coming at it with respect, and I appreciate you serving for our country, Pete. That's awesome, by the way.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
By the way, I'm sitting here trying to act like it's not my brother that's calling, so it's a little bit tough for me.
Is that your brother?
I just know that.
That is my brother, Pete.
So well that odd
I got all like deep with your brother.
With me. That's
all right.
It struck a chord with me, that's all. Because you're so opinionated and everything. But as soon as it came to the president, you were like, I don't slide it either way. So
you need people like Nick, though.
About everything.
You need people like Nick. You need people like Nick who question authority. I think Nick's the kind of guy who questions authority. I don't think that Nick had. Let me, Nick. President Obama or George Bush? Did you say the same kind of things about them as you criticized Donald Trump?
No, I have. See,
that's just how he is. That's how you are.
I can't help
so
it.
At least
and
you're
the
consistent.
You do bring up. I mean, my brother does bring up a great point. I am very opinionated, and I did shy away from it. And it's just my natural reaction to stick up for the other side or to go against the grain because that's what the fuck I like to do. So for me to say that he's not a shitty person or that he is a shitty person or me kind of shying away from my opinion of the president, I have no idea why. It's just how I am. I really have no other answer than that.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. For someone that's like a president, you shouldn't have to pick like the smallest thing out to try to find something good about a person. But then again, everybody has a different opinion, so one person might think that one thing's good, and then another person might think that same thing is terrible. And that's just politics.
It is, man.
That's the bullshit about it.
And that's the bullshit about it. All right, Jay. Thanks for your call, brother.
I got to go to bed. All right, no problem.
See, that is my brother calling in there. And it's funny that he knows so much of how I work that he instantly called me on my bullshit. And I'm fine with that. I love being wrong. I love being proved wrong. So, like I said, if you have an opinion that is unlike ours, we gladly accept that. We have another call right now. We're going to bring them on. Hey, how you doing? Who do I have the pleasure to bullshit with?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Brian.
Hey,
what's up,
Brian? What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to call in real quick. I've been listening. I'm liking what I'm hearing. And I wanted to welcome you guys to the network on your first live show.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Brian, I'm sure you've heard by, you know, the Morning Cup of Sports and Two Guys on a Balcony. He also has various shows on the network here. And, Brian, I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate that, too.
Oh, most definitely, guys. I'm digging your show. I like what you guys are doing and everything, and it's definitely interesting. So, like I said, I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I want you guys to get back to what you're doing. I just want to call in and say welcome, and I'm definitely looking forward to listening to the rest of the show and seeing what else you guys got coming up.
All right. Thanks, brother. Again.
All right, cool, Brian.
Later, guys.
Later.
Yo, I love the love right now. I like taking these calls. This is fun as shit.
I can't wait for the haters. Then it's going to be real fun. I'm waiting for you fucking conservative one, and then someone calling me a libtard. I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for it either. I'm actually – I want someone who has an opposite opinion to call so we can just talk. I think that's part of what I wanted to talk about today on the show is, you know, how I've noticed just going through Facebook and looking at different things of how readily people do – they don't accept another person's opinions. Like, people in a whole that I've noticed, it's tough for them to take someone's opinion and then take it as that. They either they have to attack, you know, and it's almost like, you know, where the whole snowflakes thing come out when you know most people call them libs like a snowflake because they're whiny, there's that, and you know, they're like dainty. But
great name.
I really feel like snowflakes goes on both sides.
Oh, it definitely does, bro. It definitely does. They try to make it seem like the only people that are snowflakes are these left-wing nuts, right? And don't get me wrong. If I had to compare which snowflake was softer, I would say the left-wing snowflakes are definitely softer. I mean, let's just look at it for real. Because of how much restriction. It's like everything. But conservatives... they got quite a few buttons themselves, man. And if you push
100%.
The wrong button, they melt like Frosty the Snowman in June. And it's just a complete meltdown. And they'll try to destroy you just like a left wing nut will. They'll try to make you lose your job and get you fired. They're the same way. See, these people that are this way are just narcissistic people who are very heavily involved emotionally in the politics. So as soon as you say something they disagree with, they want to destroy you. And they're on both sides. And it's important as Americans that we fight against these people because they are a threat to every individual's right to free speech. Every individual has a right to free speech. And left or right wing does not have a right to try to destroy you because you say something they don't like. The battlefield is the argument. And that's where it goes, and that's where it should stay. It should not leak into violence or your job or espionage or blackmail or revenge porn or however you want to get somebody back.
Are you talking Black China or Rob Kardashian? Is that what you're talking about right now, Pete?
I'm talking
about,
yeah, I'm talking that's.
How dare you? But I agree with you, man, and if you want to. But I feel like at the stance that people are doing it, it's kind of like they're holding on to whatever. They're holding on to so tightly that it really goes from like a discussion to an attack. Like you can pick apart someone's opinion with a discussion. That's fine. You're allowed to do that. And I feel like that's fine to do across the board. But either – I don't know what it is. Maybe people are too goddamn sensitive. I don't know what it is, but we – you can't have a conversation. You can't have an opposite opinion. And I mean, I hate Nazis. I hate what Nazis stand for, but you can't be punching them when they're practicing their First Amendment rights.
Well, no, you can't. But if see, here's the thing. They called Trump supporters Nazis when they weren't. So I sympathized with Trump supporters, and I was really pissed off when I saw them getting attacked. However,
that was the first thing they went
through. However, true Nazi groups, because we do have real Nazi groups, okay? I'm going to say firsthand, personally, there's not going to be much sympathy from me. I don't think people have the right to attack them, but you won't see me in their corner sticking up for them for what happened. I will stick up for free speech and make a general statement. Like, look, you know, everyone has a, you know, but if you, I would never, like, take that group in particular and shield and try to protect them, because I can't protect everybody. You know, there's so many people's rights who get shit on every day, you know, and all I can do is make blanket statements and say that we need to protect everybody's rights. But there are people that I am willing to put myself out there to physically protect, and then there are people who I wouldn't. And I got to say that they are people I would not, just because I disagree completely with everything they stand for.
No, I agree with you, man.
It's like Antifa, right? Antifa gets their ass beat. You're not going to hear me stick up for them. I'm not going to stick up for them. I'm going to say, you guys are assholes. You got what you deserve. But I will stick up for free speech and be like, but it's not right that this happens, because they still got a right to what they have to say.
Absolutely.
But that's,
hey, listen,
but that's as far as that goes.
We got a caller here. We got Laura on the line. Laura, you're live. Bullshit with us.
Hey, cool. So I just wanted to make a little comment. I might be a little bit late about the snowflake thing, but I personally think it's hilarious that conservatives call liberals snowflakes, yet they get upset over Starbucks cups. I don't know if you guys have heard about the Starbucks cup fiasco.
Yeah, the whole holidays during the holidays things. And
war
I have
Christmas.
To agree with you.
War on Christmas. I mean, that shit is insane to get, like, genuinely upset about.
Yeah.
I
mean, the only reason why here's an example someone should legitimately get upset, right? You love Christmas. You make a Christmas show, and a bunch of people come and protest. Now, you got a legitimate reason to be like, look, you're fucking up my show because you're coming over here because you don't like the fact that this is Christmas. Well, I don't give a shit. You need to get the fuck out. They are not snowflakes. They got the right to say, get the fuck out. But when you have this dude picking up a Starbucks cup because Starbucks is trying to be more inclusive to the other holidays besides Christmas, you're being absolutely ridiculous. And Starbucks is making a smarter corporate move, because in a capitalistic way of thinking, people who celebrate Christmas are not your only clientele. So you want to reach out to as many clientele as you can, which would include people who celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and people who don't celebrate anything except the new year. So you want to be that way. And I agree with you. They are total snowflakes. In fact,
yeah,
I call
like
them
conservatives get mad at liberals because liberals, like, care about legitimate causes, like, I don't know, women's rights or equality. And, like, that's being a snowflake. Yeah, like, you can get genuinely upset because the Starbucks cup doesn't say Merry Christmas on it. And, like, that's normal for them.
That's the hypocrisy we're talking about, Laura. That's it. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I said that's the hypocrisy that, you know, we're talking about. I appreciate your call.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly what we're talking about. You hit it on the head, Laura. Thank you.
Hey, we got another call here. We're lighting up. This is fun. Hey, Pete. We got JJ on the line. JJ, what's going on? Bullshit with us, brother.
JJ.
Hey. Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good.
How are you?
I called in. It looks like I called in about the same time as your last caller, and it was probably good that worked out that way, because I'm a conservative. Now, and this is the first time I watched your show. A friend of mine, Brian, he said, yeah, that go check them out, see what they got. And you started your show out with a little bit of whining. You want to blame baby boomers, which you have some valid points. They did have the best situation you could be in. And
yeah.
I wouldn't say they intentionally screwed it up for the next generation, but I would say that Bill Clinton was a baby boomer. And who signed NAFTA?
No, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. NAFTA was a very shitty agreement.
I agree with that. You got a couple valid points, but the thing is that NAFTA deal, you know, when, I don't know, how old are you guys? Real quick before I go pissing everybody off.
I'm 29, and you're not going to piss anybody off here. Well, in fact, if you disagree with what I say, it's going to be fun, and I like that.
Well, I'll try not to ruffle too many feathers early part of the day. Okay.
Could you
please
ruffle feathers, please?
Please what?
Please ruffle feathers, man. I'm all about it.
All right. We can do that. Okay. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the baby boomer thing, but do you all remember Ross Perot when he ran for president as an independent in the mid-90s?
Sir.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Now, right after this NAFTA was released, he came out and he said, yeah, NAFTA's a good idea, but not this NAFTA. Now, this was before the internet really got going. The Windows operating systems were around, but the thing is, there's no social media that I think has kept politicians more accountable than anything else. Now, without all that being said, is that people can now keep up with what's going on. And the only industry that really was benefited, the only American industry that benefited from NAFTA was the trucking industry, because all that Interstate 69, if you look at it, it starts in Flint, Michigan, and ends up on Laredo, Texas, on the border. So it's easy to look at that and at the periods that parts of it were built, thinking maybe this has been in the works for a while. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just coincidence, and that's what they named it. Who knows? Now, I want to pick on Starbucks right quick. Is that you said earlier, and I agree with you, that in a company, the idea is to expand business.
Yeah.
Well, their former CEO went popping off his mouth saying that he didn't want business from anybody who did not support gay marriage over traditional marriage. Well, let's piss off every Christian in the United States. Okay? And my beloved pastor, he's missing Starbucks. But I'm going to give him some Wawa coffee. And I know a friend of mine, Brian's listening to that right now. I'm sure he's losing it. Okay?
I love Wawa coffee, man. Wawa is our area.
All right, scroll
here
on from the North Beach.
That's it, man.
That's it. Now, how much more time do I got?
A little bit longer, man. You're all right.
All right. Okay, so to anybody who thinks nothing good comes out of New Jersey, I think that's where Wawa started. So there you go.
You're right.
And this, now this, their most recent Starbucks CEO had pledged to hire so many Muslims. Well, that's his right. Go for it and have at it. As I understand it, it's not working out real well at some of the places where he has done that. So, you could call that the old wind ice or karma or reaping and so on or whatever you want to go with. But to come out as a CEO saying we don't want business from a certain set of people, that is not working for me. That's not a way to run a business.
That is a terrible business platform. Now, I understand what he's saying. What he's saying is he feels that gay people have the right to get married, which it's fine to say that. But in a society where there's people that don't agree with a lot of things that I do. Now, now legally, should I be allowed to do them? Yes, and that's how I feel about the same issue. But as a CEO of a company, the last thing I want to do is demonize a set of people because they say or they believe something that's different than how I see the world. Because my job is to sell to people, not to politically make people think the way that I think. So in that aspect, I agree with you. I think that was not a very smart thing for him to do as a CEO.
Well, here's
to come
the thing,
out and say that.
As I feel like, as a private business owner now, Starbucks, I believe, is that a public company or is it a private company?
They're public now,
That's public. Yeah, it's public. They got stockholders and a CEO with a big mouth, and he's busted in as far as I'm concerned, but that's my opinion.
Hey, JJ, I appreciate your opinion, man, and we're going to elaborate a little bit. Thanks for the call, man. Anytime,
I'm
Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, JJ.
So, the point I was going to bring up is that I feel like if you're a private company, I typically have libertarian ideals, and I love the free market. People hate the free market, and the more I look into it and the more I research free market ideals, I feel like it works. I feel like if you're a private company, you should be able to serve whoever you want. because, and here's my reason behind it, not because I'm a racist, not because I'm discriminatory, but because in a free market, if you have shitty ideals as a company, then people can choose not to go to your business. And if they choose not to go to your business, then you're not going to make the money. So either you can just, you can take the L, you can not take the money, or you can change your ideals to broaden who your business is catering to. So I feel like that should be that way for a private company, maybe like a Hobby Lobby. It's almost like the same type of idea. But once you hit the realm of being owned partly by the public, I feel like, now I guess it's kind of oxymoronic because I'm talking about a free market, but I'm talking about not
being able to. No, you're right,
because
if the market was the free market that you wanted to be naturally, there would be no public businesses. But since that we do have a country of balance, believe it or not, we're not just completely one way, you know. So when you get big enough, you become a business that goes public, right? So, and I don't think that's an oxymoron or makes you a hypocrite, because you're right.
It's
now that you're public, you need to adhere to the will of
the public. Right? Who owns your company? The public now
owns
your
company.
Right. So I feel like they should have their say. And I said, it's kind of an oxymoron because I'm talking about restricting what you do with your business in a free market, but you know, that's kind of a thing. We got Johanna on the line here. She's been waiting for about 6 or 7 minutes now, so I'm gonna try and bring her on real quick. We're gonna see what she has, maybe an interesting topic. Johanna, come bullshit
with us.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm a little sick, but that's okay. So I did want to point out that Starbucks has actually been public since 1992, so that's nothing new. A lot of people, their biggest disagreement with Starbucks hiring refugees is that they don't hire military, which is also false. They've hired 8,800 military veterans and plan to bring that to 10,000 by 2018. But my biggest thing is, at what point do you separate the line between free speech and hate speech? At what point does free speech override general morals?
I would say that hate speech is when you talk to a point where you don't disagree with something. It's where you become someone who is trying to cause buzz in order to hurt somebody. And you could be killing them. You could try to hurt them politically, try to pass laws that also hurt a certain person or a certain kind of people. Once you get there, I would say it's hate speech, because hey, you can get beat up and your ass kicked in the street, but I promise you, nothing will kick your ass like this system if it's out to get you. Nothing's going to kick your ass like our present system or like anything else that we have to offer. So if you're trying to pass laws that will in fact harm groups of people such as gay people, black people, or even white people, it doesn't matter who it is. It can be anybody. If the system is out to get a certain group of people, the system will do harm to that group more than anything possibly could. So if you're advocating for that, then I would call that hate speech.
So what about if a company refuses to serve you because you're gay? Would you consider that like their own right, or would you consider that wrong?
This is where me and Nick
disagree.
It's a private company. For me, if it's a private company, let me give my idea real quick. I've actually talked about this before on the podcast, and I struggle with this personally because I constantly jump from one side to the other when I think about this topic. And I got angry when the Christian woman didn't want to serve the gays. What was she, in a post office?
No,
because
I think she was a licensed. You mean the one that was giving out marriage licenses?
Yes, yes. She wouldn't give out the marriage
license. Government job. She's
now,
wrong.
Her
hell.
Government
job
government is job. To give out those marriage licenses. That's your job. It is not for you to make up the rules of who you do and do not serve to, because you work for the government and you work for a public company. So because that government has that company has that as ideals, that they are government and they serve the public, then you need to fucking serve the public. Now, if you're a private company, and this is where I fight with it all the time with myself, if you're a private company and you don't want to serve somebody, then my only hope is that the market will take over and your shitty ideals will cause you to not make money. I think that you should be able to serve who you want to. I mean, they have private clubs. I mean, I know it's a little bit different, but they have private clubs, don't they? Where you could be a certain person to join a club. You can be an Italian for, you know, the Sons of Italy.
Yeah, but,
or you can,
but they don't exclude people, though. Here's the thing. Those clubs, believe it or not, even the NAACP has white members. They don't say you're no whites allowed. In the Italian-American clubs of the campuses, we have people that – or anywhere. We have people that aren't Italian.
Johanna, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call.
Our phone lines are lighting up here.
Cool. Well, let me get to her point where I think
privately.
I think privately, if you discriminate on somebody, the laws have already been established that you could run into repercussions because the laws are there. It doesn't specify public or private. It doesn't matter. The laws have been made during the Civil Rights Act, and the laws have been updated, if you look at it, to include not just color, but sex, gender, and other things. Now, I'm not saying that can't get out of control, because it definitely can. Okay? It can become where anybody who's slightly different from the norm becomes a protected minority group. And I don't think that's fair to actual minority groups who need these protections because they are in fact something that they're born, which is black or the religion that they grew up with or other things in that nature or their orientation. But I can see how it can get out of control. And once it gets out of control, it's not going to mean anything. So we have to make sure that there's a balance between logic and reason and applying these laws of discrimination.
I agree. Hey, Pete, we have Nas called back, man. Welcome again tonight.
Yeah, I'll be brief, man. Look, the laws that we're talking about, they're there for a reason. Why? Because people actively discriminated against other people. They used other groups as a way of exclusion. So yes, that's why the laws are there. And then, look, man, there's got to be a new way of saying some people are open to more market forces. But this whole this mythical free market thing, it doesn't exist on the planet unless you go to a dictatorship where you have one person and their little ruling group along with some huge multinationals ruling a nation with the brutal hand of a military behind them. Like, there is no free market as a economic outcome that's a good outcome for the population. It doesn't work. If you had the free market right now in Flint, Michigan, your shareholders would say, look, man, it's not really good for us to fix that water there. We're going to lose money fixing that water. We need to keep things the way they are. And you guys talked about Starbucks. The biggest shareholder of Starbucks is Fidelity Bank, okay? So, you know, your uncle and cousin who own 5 shares of Starbucks, they have no say in how that thing is run. That CEO said that because he looked at the demographics of who buys coffee from them. Would it play well to their core base? The people who go to Starbucks twice a day sometimes, but almost every work day. That's who they're appealing to, not the everyday Dunkin' Donuts coffee drinker. So that's why he said that. Not because he was emotional. It's calculated. Political manipulation. And, of course, it worked. But, yeah, the free market, man, it's a fantastic story, but it doesn't work. And if you name a nation where it has worked, please give me the example and let's examine it.
Well, the free market works under protection.
Thanks for the call, Nas. I appreciate it.
The free market works under protection because ideally in a free market, you could make a system to where everything just costs a whole lot of money for a small amount of people. And it would be the same thing as you making it less money for more people.
But this is
healthcare, especially. Healthcare
the problem
can
is this.
Easily be done, become an object of a privileged class. All they got to do is raise the prices. And even the people with the lower prices, if everybody else is up and those ones are low, they're going to find a way to get rid of them, to get them out. They're going to not let them get licenses, or they're going to, I don't know. There's ways that they can put strangleholds on these companies that these little guys can't outbeat these prices, and it's the reason why it doesn't happen already as much as it should.
Right.
And there's certain protections that need to be placed. Now, I don't trust the government. I really don't. But I know that it's necessary for certain situations because we can't fight the giants with what we have. We can't fight the giants with our own bank accounts because our bank accounts don't have nothing in them. You know,
The reason why the free market isn't working right now, or it hasn't worked, Nas brought up a great point. You know, bring up a country, you really can't. But the idea with capitalism is that the less restriction on the free market, the more it can flourish, right? So the reason why the big pharmaceutical companies are taking over and things like that, is because there still are restrictions on there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you were to give them,
that's true.
So
that's
if you
true.
Were to,
you're right.
With those, if you were to take those restrictions off, there might be a period where those companies start taking over. But then there's going to be a resurgence of smaller companies that do it better than the big companies, and they do it cheaper than the big companies. The companies will end up getting greedy with the money. They end up getting greedy with the way, we'll just say, the cost of a product is, and it's too expensive. And then when we can't buy it, we're not going to buy it. And then a smaller company will reinvent a way to put that product out to market to the people who couldn't buy it in the first place.
Well, you want a system to where that elite classes can't use political influence to make laws.
Thanks for holding. Who am I speaking to?
For some ways, and it would not work in a lot of ways in other ways. For that example, that would work because people compete with lower prices. But the fact that you can get wealthy politicians to not use a government in their favor, that is never going to happen. It's never going to. It's best if we can beat them to it and try to influence the government from the public's point of view, because we do have a say with who gets to be in office and who doesn't, to say you work for us now. And
right.
That's really the only thing we can do because of that realistic situation to where they will use the government, and they use big government. They say they want small government, but they don't, because they just want the big government in their favor. And they use that big government to crush their competition. And I am so against that, because it's not just banks or healthcare industries. It's something as small as the restaurants. These mom-and-pop shops, these small Italian places, you know, that have restaurants. You'd be surprised how much power places like Red Lobster and Olive Garden and these other chain restaurants have to destroy these places.
Now, I have a question for you, Pete,
real quick. This is a real thing.
Now, how many times do you go to Olive Garden?
I don't go.
Why don't you go?
Because I know real Italian food.
Exactly. That's my point with the free market. You realize that Olive Garden, the big greedy company, doesn't put out the product that you want. So you go to the real mom and pop shop Italian restaurant. That's the point I'm trying to make.
But I would like to more, but I don't have the money to afford that, because that mom and pop Italian restaurant, it's making all their stuff from good shit. They're not using cheap shit, I promise you.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised. When they make their gravy, they're cooking it. They put the tomatoes on at 10 o'clock p.m. the following day and let it cook till the morning. This is the dedication they have. You know, Olive Garden don't do that.
I know, but you realize authentic food.
Yeah, but their prices, in consequence, have to be almost twice as much as the Olive Garden. And then the public can't eat at these restaurants because they're not getting paid enough money. So they're being forced to eat cheap shit. like Olive Garden, even worse, McDonald's and Burger King. You know, and it's because people just ain't getting paid enough money. And it's more than just the worker that's suffering. It's the small business owner, too. You know, that's just how I see it. And we're eating shit. It could be eaten. Bro, I could take you to a restaurant that would make your titties spin. Like, you wouldn't believe how good this food tastes. And look, and you don't got to be a millionaire to eat here. You just got to be somebody who makes enough money. And they're strangling us, bro. And they're forcing us to eat shit.
No, they're not, because you have the free will of not eating shit. You have the free will of when you can afford. Listen, we're not rich. We're not rich fucking people. But when I want to go out to dinner, I make sure it's a good place, because I'm not trying to eat like that. And places you're not. I mean, do you think people go to Olive Garden every day or once a week? I don't know. I'm sure there are people that do, but that's not me.
All I'm saying is this: the economy is rigged for the corporations to succeed, the small businesses to fail, and for people to not make enough money to go to their local competition. They have all this in mind. They pass laws. It's even as far as taxation. They even just decide who gets taxed and who doesn't, just to screw over their independent, local, privatized competition. And they're trying to do that with the internet now, with net neutrality. They want to get rid of it.
This is not the first time they've tried, too, because they realize how significant of a tool the internet is. And, you know, you're right about that, but, you know,
that's all.
We have 2 minutes left and one caller. I'm hoping that they can come on and make a quick point so we can close this down. Hey, who are we bullshitting with?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Farmer.
Hey, Farmer,
what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm chilling. I know you guys only got a couple minutes left of your show. I wanted to welcome you guys to the Radio AFS family. I've been listening through the link at www.blogtalk/radioafs, and you guys are off the hook. It's glad to have you guys part of the network.
Thanks, Farmer.
Well, thank
you, man.
Appreciate it.
We really appreciate the love. Thanks, brother.
Hey, you know, yeah, you guys are welcome. That's all I got, and I will let you guys finish your guys' show, and I can't wait till next week, and maybe I'll call in a little bit sooner and chop it up with a little bullshit style.
Absolutely, man. It's all about bullshit. Thanks.
That's all we're doing is bullshit. That's it.
That's literally what we're doing. We got one minute here. We got about 2 minutes. So any final thoughts, Pete? You can wrap up in about a minute.
Yeah, I got some final thoughts. Tom Camp, when Ben Stiller is old, you need to get into the acting business, because I'm going to miss him. I need someone to replace that guy, bro. Like, I love Ben Stiller. All his movies are great. Something About Mary is like the best comedy I've ever seen. Tommy, that's your calling.
Tom, stop writing number one bestseller books internationally on Amazon, please, and start your acting career. But listen, guys, again, sometimes we're serious, sometimes we're joking. You know, that's how it is with us. We kind of just, you know, that's just how we are, and that's just how it is, and you can expect more of the same shit from us, man. This is how we talk. We're just a bunch of friends from high school, and we just chop up politics. Sometimes we talk about things we don't know. Sometimes we're enlightened by other people, but it's important, man. Just accept those opinions. Talk about things. The only way we can make progress as a people and as a whole is if we can talk about things and not have such
and
a skew on things.
And when we say progress, we don't necessarily mean libtard progressives.
And on that note, we're out.
Thank you for listening to Political Bullshit. Be sure to visit the website www.politicalbspodcast.com and subscribe to the email list to stay up to date on Political Bullshit.